Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara as Vince pinch hits for Jimmy Hyams. And it's a pleasure to say hello to Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello. The Volunteers coming off a three-game sweep of Western Illinois to open the 2020 campaign. Coach, congratulations on the big weekend. How are you?
Thanks, John. I'm good. Looking forward to tomorrow. Get another opportunity to play. Instead of fighting the cold tomorrow, we'll be fighting the rain. But, obviously we've been very happy with the surface that we have out here, so that should be a big help.
It was something to see that going into the series, you had the late news, and it was the last of the preseason recognition and honors that both Garrett Crochet and Alaric Solari were on the Golden Spikes watch list, and unfortunately, neither was available to you on Friday. If you would, just talk about, one, Alaric's situation, which I thought he handled so well, and update us on where Garrett is.
Yeah, if anything, I mean, you want to turn anything from a negative to a positive if you stumble upon a negative. But especially in baseball, I mean, you got to almost trick yourself to think everything's a positive because there are so many negatives that pop up, like the weather or a bad call or bad luck, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, in Alaric's situation, he's kind of turned himself into a team leader. Obviously, his play on the field has a lot to do with that. But also just how he's kind of made some changes in the locker room. And, you know, we've kind of held him to a higher standard. So not a big deal. It was a meeting that was a big deal to me that he missed. So we decided to suspend him for a game. And, you know, me, I saw some stuff that went around across the country with maybe some other guys, you know, getting themselves in a lot more trouble and out there playing. So, you know, made me feel good that we're holding them accountable and kind of made it an example. And I think the guys know that, you know, we mean business, and you got to take care of your business on and off the field. And like you said, he handled it great, got out there game two, and, still finding himself a little bit, but, you know, got to play left field and second base this weekend to show his versatility. So all good there. And then, you know, Garrett's a short one. It's pretty simple. Ran into some soreness, not quite sure, so better safe than sorry. We get him looked at by the doctors. Anytime you do that, you got to quit throwing for a couple days. So not only does he got to pick the ball back up from a couple days off, but he's got to assess some issues that are causing the soreness, which is really just a little bit of lack of flexibility. So he's been getting after it with Woody, and we'll begin playing catch tomorrow, and won't be long before he's back on the mound. But I think we are going to be cautious about how he progresses before he's actually facing other hitters, because you know Garrett, he's going to want to go full speed. There's not going to be any holding back.
Tony, obviously the results were good with you getting the series sweep, and a lot of individuals played well, but was the opportunity to play as many guys as you had, was that one of the bigger positives from the weekend, you think?
It was enormous, and it's almost like we made a deal with the devil, because it was the perfect weekend for us for this particular team, and so we got lucky with the scheduling and the way our guys played. To be able to afford that opportunity, because we don't have a lot of answers with this group other than we need to find answers. So repetitions is going to be what gives us those. And this weekend was great. So just the way it all worked out, getting to play with the weather, Western Illinois, obviously coming from the north, and they had some injuries as well. Weren't as formidable as opponent as they wanted to be, or what we'll see in the SEC. But what we truly needed this weekend with this year's team in particular was to get a bunch of guys out there, as you mentioned.
How impressed were you with Jackson Leith yesterday?
Man, for a while there, it was almost like a video game was going on with how he was throwing the ball. And I mentioned in the post-game interview, he was a little off his game at the very start of the whole deal. He's obviously very physically built and physically gifted, but he's a hard worker and a great kid. So this means a lot to him. And he showed up about 4 hours before the game yesterday and looked like Ray Lewis. And that's a good thing. That, again, he's intense and it's important to him, but it's a bad thing when it's 4 hours from first pitch, you know? So our sport's a little bit different. You got to kind of have a filtering process or almost a build-up process to where you peak with your mentality at pitch one to hold on to that for 7 hours or, you know, in his case, it might have been about 5.5 is very difficult. And then, two, I think at the end, we are a little thin right now. We're being cautious with some guys. So we wanted him to be able to go 4 or 5 innings, but we probably left him out there a little too long with all those strikeouts. his pitch count got about five pitches more than we wanted. And, you know, of course, the last pitch was where the only real damage was done off of him. So, you know, good for him. He got to work through that. You know, next time we'll be a little smarter with our decisions. But, you know, I think it was overall just an outstanding day for him, and he kind of made his mark on Tennessee baseball.
I know it wasn't the plan going in, but you wound up starting three guys who had never started a game for the University of Tennessee. How did you feel that Chad Dallas went Friday? And I know you had to be thrilled with what Chase Wallace did on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt. I was excited for both those guys. I felt kind of dumb, though, because I had no idea. I didn't even think of that those three guys were like that. And, you know, part of it was Chad was a last-minute decision, and Chase has been here for 3 years now and, you know, has been a successful pitcher, just fought to stay healthy and, of course, had some growing pains like all freshmen. But I hadn't realized that that was what we had going on this weekend. But, you know, Coach Elander did a great job with our recruiting class, and so Jackson Leaf has that ability. Chad Dallas was a late add, but we thought he would be out of the bullpen. But if you meet him, which I think you guys have by now, he's just a truly happy-go-lucky kid. And on top of it, he's fearless. So it was kind of a perfect combination to slide him into an emergency situation, and really one that's kind of filled with pressure because, you know, the other team can kind of play off of, hey, wait a minute, we know about this big arm these guys got, and it's almost like they're saving him or they don't think he needs to throw against us. And you and I know that's not the case, but that kind of mental warfare, kind of that mind game is there. So, and one way that happens, too, that I hope Tennessee fans get to know this better is if you're talented enough to host a regional, you're the one seed and you're playing the four seed. And the thing that you two guys and everyone else is going to want to know is, are you going to throw your ace in that situation? And some people do, some people don't. So,
our guest, Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello, as he joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline, the you got a couple of dingers on Friday, difference in the game with a shutout with Dallas and Hundley, and then the bats really came to life on Saturday and Sunday. In fact, I'm sure that Chick-fil-A loves the fact that a lot of folks now have the opportunity to get free chicken sandwiches for all three games based on the dingers that showed up. Were you surprised at all at the pop?
Well, I'm excited about the Chick-fil-A as well. I don't know a person that doesn't like Chick-fil-A. I don't want to get into politics. I know the only time people don't like Chick-fil-A is on Sunday when they get off at the exit wanting to go there and it's not open. So, but no, I mean, you know, Coach E works with our hitters and gets help from Coach Kiven and others too, but really good at getting guys to backspin the baseball. And, you know, you don't have to be a big, strong guy, a football guy, to hit it over the fence. You have to hit it the right way. And I think our guys put in a lot of reps to get there and get quality coaching. And then, you know, Q, you know, you're probably tired of me mentioning his name, but he has so much influence on this program. And you guys, that when you're around the stadium, you sense that. But he's really gotten these guys to be baseball strong, where they don't look like a bodybuilder and they're not, you know, basketball, soccer, football strong. They're baseball specific strong, and it's showing up. And where it's really nice to see is a guy like Rucker, who doesn't hit any, and, you know, he develops physically, and same thing with Fergie, and those guys are hitting balls not just over the fence, but to deep parts of the park and well over the fence.
We've got more with Coach Vitello coming up. Sports Talk continues on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
We work all day under a neon Budweiser sign. Yeah, it's a really cool thing. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, we are Sports Radio WNML.
Sports Talk continues. More with Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello. The Volunteers 3-0 after a sweep of Western Illinois. Coach joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline.
Coach Drew Gilbert, certainly you got to see A, the talent, B, the lack of fear that you mentioned with some of your other guys. And boy, he took advantage of his opportunity and even did something that we haven't seen a ton of in a while for Tennessee. And you're in the batting order and you get on the mound in the same game as a two-way player. Talk about Gilbert.
Yeah, he's a little shorter than Todd Helton, but he's a spark plug. And gosh, I'll tell you what, we got a lot of good kids, but you know, you want to win games, but you also want to come to work every day and enjoy it. And he's one of those guys that makes it that way for his teammates and definitely for the coaches. And obviously we want to see him reach his potential as far as being a player on both sides of the baseball. And, you know, we recruit a lot of kids like that, and we tell them that, but sometimes they don't want to put in the time, you know, or if they struggle in one or are having success in the other, it'll sway them towards that particular side of the ball. But we're all four guys attempting to do that. Like I said, I modeled anything I did pitching-wise with Coach A's style, and Coach Anderson was an infielder, as was I. So it's kind of the way he coaches his pitchers is to be athletic and compete and keep things natural. And so I think Drew's got a true future at doing that for 3 years, and then he's got the mindset and the ability to maybe make a run at the big leagues, and which side of the ball it's going to be on, I really couldn't tell you at this point. But in order to make that run, you mentioned it, you have to be fearless, you have to be comfortable in your own skin, and he's definitely a goofball, but he's comfortable in that skin and fearless enough to make that goofy sweatshirt that he made with, unfortunately, I'm the victim there. I don't know how freshmen, not a very, we talked about discipline at the top of the conversation. Not a very good reflection of our program that I'm losing that battle there.
And then a guy that just oozes talent and physical ability is Zach Daniels. And I know you had to be happy with the weekend he had.
Yeah, no question. I think the crazy thing that the coaching staff liked the best out of Zach, and I need to make sure I mention this to him, is his takes. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that are pitches he did not swing at. And one of the reasons he's not chasing pitches out of the zone is he's in a really good position as the ball approaches the plate. And, you know, for the average fan, if you're on the third base side or the first base side, if you watch when a guy takes a pitch, you know, you may say to yourself, well, there's no action there. I'm going to take another bite of hot dog or a drink of beer or whatever it might be. You know, pay attention. And when a guy looks good with his takes, he's usually in a good position to hit. And that was the most encouraging sign and the thing that we hope repeats itself with the four games we have coming up this week. And, you know, Zach's a good kid, hard worker, super talent. And the moral of the story there is he's going to have a good year for us, but it's going to be nowhere near as good as he can be down the road. He's just going to keep getting better and better because he has athletic ability. And I don't really like saying he's raw, but he's got a lot of space between, you know, where he's at now and where his ceiling is.
Is his stance and being in a better position to lay off those pitches, is that stance where that front foot is facing towards right field helping him and getting in that spot you want him in?
I think it's helping him stay to the baseball a little bit. And, you know, it's almost a Mike Stanton type setup where you're so explosive and you kind of get pole happy at times. Why not angle yourself towards right center a little bit or just to the offset of second base to kind of help equalize that pole happy mentality? And, you know, he's made all kinds of adjustments, and a lot of it comes from his own work. Part of it was from summer ball up in the Cape Cod. He experimented a little bit. But overall, it's more of a mindset for him. I mean, his natural raw ability athletically is tremendous, but the mindset is one that needs to keep coming on every day. And certainly as a junior, I know he feels more comfortable around our stadium than he did as a freshman.
It really looks like there's just great spirit for the team at the start of the season. And I know that's probably the case all across the country. You're always excited when the season starts. But there was one moment yesterday that was something with Evan Russell. He takes a pitch off the helmet, gets up and sprints to first base. And, I mean, I don't think anybody could have done anything different that would have fired up the dugout more.
John, it was unbelievable. And I think a lot of people texted me about it and kind of talked about a culture thing, or, you know what? It's just, it was Evan Russell, a very unique kid. I don't know how he shows up to work every day with that energy level and that attitude. It's something that I aspire to do, but there's some days where you just need a nap, man, or you're in a bad mood and he doesn't have those days. And then that step one led to step two. What you're talking about is those guys just, you know, really getting fired up and loving to see it and glad he was okay. And, you know, Andy Pasco is Western Illinois' coach. I got a lot of respect for him. I've known him who he is for a while and the team. You don't want to show him up, but I had to go to the corner of the dugout and just hide my emotion because I didn't want to show anybody up. It was a pretty cool deal, and you know what? We're all trying to make memories, man. You go to a party or you go to a dinner or a family deal or a game, you know, in 5 years you want to remember what went on, and that's something that I'll remember for a long, long time.
As you mentioned, it is four games this week. You've got Charlotte at home tomorrow, and then the team will get on a plane and head to Round Rock, Texas for an incredible field. Some have Texas Tech, a number one team in the country, but how do you approach your first midweek game tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, you've got a little bit of flavor from our regional in there. The North Carolina assistant coach from last year is now the head coach at Charlotte. So it'll be interesting hooking back up with him. And he's a smart guy. He's going to have a new game plan, so it's tough to scout your opponents when it's a new coaching staff. But they're a program that's had success over the years. And, again, kind of a broken record for non-conference games is they got a big target on our back because we're an SEC team. And the bottom line is we need to have a target on their back, and we need to attack Tuesday for the first time this year. And if you do that, it'll actually make your weekend better. I know the kind of the old theme for college baseball is, you know, don't put too much importance on the weekend and not enough on the midweek. You know, they're all the same, and they all help each other too. So if we attack Tuesday, it'll make for a better weekend, and we'll worry about that when it rolls around. But for now, Elijah Pleasance is going to get the ball in his, I believe, his second career start. And we'll play our fourth new lineup, or at least a new batting order, tomorrow. And we'll just keep trying to get better.
All right. Well, Coach, it was a great start to the season. Tennessee taking care of business against Western Illinois. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll look for you at the ballpark tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. You have a great Monday.
All right. You
Thanks,
as well. Coach. And that's Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello joining us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline.